And so those of you who have your Bibles, you can turn to the third chapter of James, and there's a few extra Bibles tucked under the pulpits if you don't have one. It's always best to follow along. And we studied down last time, past actually, I think I took us all the way to the end of the chapter last time, but I want to back up and begin about verse 8. Remember, we were talking about the tongue. And the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And then in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. Now, how you think about yourself, and every one of us at some point in time has shut our mouth off and wished afterwards that we hadn't done it. You know, it's just our nature, you know. And so the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. And then speaking to these Jews, who had been the custodian of the truth, but because of their unbelief, they had been scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. They were the Jews of the diaspora. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And particularly with the Jews, because, and we see it even today, the Jews have a problem with the fact that they're God's chosen people. The whole world has a problem with the fact that the Jews are God's chosen people. And when we look at Jews, do we see anything in Jews that merits being God's chosen people? And the answer is no. But if we look at ourselves, and we do, every time we shave, got to look in the mirror, every day. But when we look in the mirror, we see ourselves. Can we see anything in ourselves that merits salvation? So we're no different than the Jews. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. See? So in order for us to have a right relationship with God, and God being omniscient, knew exactly what Adam and Eve would do. When Adam was created in the image of God, and then Eve was taken from a rib from Adam's side, and so she, the first woman, came from man. It's very important that the first woman came from man. And so she was taken from Adam's side, and so God made Eve. And then by progeneration, after the fall, when Eve was deceived and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then after the fall, of course, Adam also ate. And it's in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, so let's turn back there, is a very important and foundational truth. That Adam sinned because of his love for Eve. And Adam apparently had enough understanding, having been created in the image of God, that he understood in order for Eve to be saved, he had to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. You know, not by sinning. That's why, you know, we sin by nature, but Jesus is God. And he willingly took upon himself the curse of sin so that he could die the just for the unjust. And the scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. So Christ could not be cursed because he's the only man who could and did fulfill the law, because he's the God-man. He's God incarnate. But then man, it'd be by the law, and the nation of Israel did not recognize what they were. So when they heard the law, and this is despite all of their grumbling and complaining and just out and out bitching in the land of Israel, or not the land of Israel, but the land of Egypt, because every time that Moses went before Pharaoh to judge another one of the 10 gods in Egypt, then Pharaoh would increase the burden upon the Jews. He'd say, "Oh, lift the curse and I'll let you go." But he lied. Yeah. And so the Jews then would complain. And because of the increased burden. And basically after a while they said, "Moses, just keep your mouth shut." You know, they didn't, you know, "We were much better off before you started this contest." But God had to judge the false gods of Egypt. Egypt in the typology of Scripture represents the world. And in the world, in and of itself, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. For all have what? Sinned. And that is, they're counted to have committed the same sin that Adam sinned when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we're all born with a sin nature. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal or any of the naughty things that kids do. They do them because it's their nature to do them. You know? And why? Because it's our nature to do them. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But God in his infinite mercy and grace, and it was portrayed in Adam. When Adam recognized that Eve had sinned, then he knew he had to also eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to give God the opportunity to bestow his grace not just on Adam and his race, of course, you know, but he knew that God would bestow his grace. Yeah. And so he also ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it tells us here in the 12th chapter, or 12th verse of the 5th chapter of Romans, "Wherefore, as by one man," and it's not sin, the sin. It's a singular sin from which all sin comes. And many times in the book of Romans, from the 5th chapter to the 8th chapter, 5th chapter verse 12 to the 8th chapter verse 3, we find the singular word sin preceded by the definite article 30 times, but the translators didn't translate a single definite article. So we're not talking about sin in general, we're talking about the specific sin of Adam. See? So, as by one man, thus sin, that is Adam's sin, entered into the world, and death, or the death, spiritual death and physical death, by what? The sin. Verse 12 of the 5th chapter of Romans. And so death passed upon all men, for all not have sinned. Translators added the helping verb. It's a punctiliar act in times past. It's in the aorist tense. So it means when Adam sinned, you sinned with him. Now, we don't like to be charged with Adam's sin, but if we can't be charged with Adam's sin, we can't be charged with Christ's righteousness. So when Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and when Christ fulfilled all righteousness, he did it for us. Because Adam was the federal head that plunged us into sin. A federal head is one, like the federal government, who acts for all. You know, when they make laws, we may not agree with them, but they're federal laws, and therefore we're subject to them. So when Adam sinned, we sinned. When Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, those of us who believe on him are counted to have been raised from the dead with him. To walk how? In newness of life. We used to walk according to a way which seemeth right unto a man. That's the sin. And so all of the religions of the world are based upon the sin, which is what? The knowledge of good and evil. What is the knowledge of good and evil? We repeat it often so that it gets into our head. The knowledge of good and evil is what man calls good and what man calls bad, or morality. Okay? And all of the religions of the world are based upon man's morality, because they're the religions of the world, which are what man can do to satisfy God. But none of them is able to satisfy God by what they do. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So if we say something against morality, and understand, it's always better to do good than to do bad. But we can't get to heaven by doing good. See? We have to recognize that we sinned with Adam, and we've committed our own sins, so that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And because of that, when Adam sinned, we sinned. When Christ died, we died. So two federal heads, and you can read about it in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Yeah. First man's of the earth, earthy. The second man's the Lord of glory. And so as in Adam all die, so in Christ, all that are in Christ are made alive. So we're not made alive because of what we have done for God. We're made alive because of what God has done for us. Okay. Now, no one ceases to exist. We call it death. And we put bodies in the grave. Well, it's the body that goes in the grave. The spirit immediately is translated, if it's an unsaved person, into Sheol, or the grave, or the compartment of the grave where the unredeemed reside. And those of us who are alive, or spiritually alive, when we die, Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul spoke of it, an incident that happened when he was at Lystra on his first missionary journey, and he was stoned to death. And he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. He's talking about himself. And the reason is that he couldn't utter what he saw. If we knew too much about heaven, none of us would want to stay here and do the job that God's given us to do, preach the gospel. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God is a merciful, loving God who wants to save the lost. But he does not act against the will of the lost. And when the will of the lost thinks that they can be like God by what they do, and refuse to accept the grace of God, all that God can do is condemn them. And that, therefore, the greatest sin in the world, really, is being religious. People call it good, but it gives people a false sense of hope. They think they have hope because of the life that they live, when there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And because they think that way, they don't think they need a Savior. They think they can do it themselves. And the devil told them they could do it themselves. That's why twice in the book of Proverbs, 14th chapter, 16th chapter, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. What seems right to the world? Everybody believes that when somebody dies, they're automatically in a better place. And sadly, it's not so. And we know that by the parable, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had everything in life, but he didn't think that he needed anything spiritual. He had everything that satisfied him, and he died and went to hell. And Lazarus, was a beggar. He was poor. He didn't have anything. But at some point in time, God had quickened the word of God to his heart and mind so that he could believe. And so he lifted his eyes up what he was in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was in hell. And at that point in time, the two compartments of the grave, one was called Abraham's bosom, the other was, or paradise, the other was called hell or Sheol. Compartment where the unsaved are. And there's a great gulf fixed, or was. God changed it with the first resurrection, or when Christ was raised from the dead. But he could look across that gulf and see the beggar being comforted in the presence of Abraham. And he said to God, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham had to tell him, even if he wanted to come from here to there, he couldn't. And he said, well, then send him to my brothers. He suddenly became very evangelistic in his thinking. He didn't want his brothers to die and come to be where he was, to come to hell. But he knew that they all would, because they were just like he was. And so with that, Abraham said, even if Lazarus wanted to come from here to there, there's a great gulf fixed, he can't. And then he said, the one rose from the dead. And who rose from the dead? The Lord Jesus Christ. The one rose from the dead, if he were to speak to your brothers, they would not believe. And those brothers represent the nation of Israel. And the majority in the nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ as the Christ, their Savior. They said, crucify him, crucify him. And so the Roman government did. And people want to call Jews Christ killers. No. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Those that believe on him and those that refuse to believe on him. See? So that we have salvation in Jesus Christ. Adam had understanding, and so he says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed or charged where there is no law. So, for the first 2,500 years of human history, there was no law except not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everyone who lived during that period of time is counted to have done what Adam did when Adam ate of the tree, because Adam is the federal head of the human family. And it takes federal headship. One to plunge us into sin, one to take us out of sin. And you can read about that in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Nevertheless, death, the death, both spiritual and physical, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They couldn't do what Adam did. They couldn't go into the garden and take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they were all counted to have done it, because in Adam all die. So in Christ, what? All are made alive. So now back in the book of James, it speaks of the fact, for the tongue can no man tame, in verse 8, and the Jews loved to boast their relationship with God. And even these Jews that were scattered amongst the Gentile nations of the world loved to boast their relationship with God simply because they were Jews. But no one was saved because of their national origin. Jews had to believe the same as you and I have to believe. So, we call the Jews Christ killers. Well, the Romans were there too. You were there too. Your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So we were every bit as responsible for his death as those who actually drove the nails into his hand, lifted that cross and dropped it into that slot that was carved into the rock of the mount. If you can imagine, spikes in your hands and your feet and be dropped into that slot. And even though they would tie them as well, they had those nails to hold them there. So, the tongue, the things that we say, and you know, we do it because it's just a part of us. You know, we're preaching the Word of God, but we, just like I said a little bit ago, bitching. I don't know why they call that a cuss word. A bitch is a female dog. And they really, you know, can really be snippy. And, you know, they don't want to mate with just any old dog. They've got one they've got their eye on. So they snip at all the other dogs. That's why, you know, that term bitch is applied to women who are very snippy. Okay? And, but there's nothing wrong with the word. You know, it's a description of a female dog. Okay. And we use it in the sense of what female dogs do. Okay. So it goes on to say, out of the same mouth, in verse 10, proceedeth blessings and cursings. And the Jews, oh, the Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you, brother. Curse those damn Gentiles. You know, because they deserve to go to hell. Well, the Gentiles didn't deserve to go to hell any more than the Jews. We all deserve to go to hell. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he says, with the tongue we bless God, even the Father, and with the tongue we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. You know, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, what James is doing, he's comparing the faith of these Jews who continue to do this, and they hate the Gentiles, you know, just like most of the Gentiles hate the Jews, you know, because they see in the Jews themselves that the Jews don't deserve to be the chosen people of God. Well, neither do we. But every one of us who has been saved by God's grace is the chosen of God. And everyone who's born of the seed of Abraham, whether they're Arabs or whether they're Jews, is not necessarily the chosen of God. There's saved and unsaved in every race upon this earth. So, doth the fountain send forth at the same place? Now think about this. As believers in Jesus Christ, we want to give forth living water. Christ is the living water. So much of what I heard in Bible school was all about, oh, you've got to live a good life so that people will look at you and want to be like you. No, there's nothing about me that people want to be like. You know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm ashamed of my sins just like you're ashamed of your sins. I know that if I got what I deserved, I would go to hell. But God in His infinite mercy and grace chose me in Christ. And the interesting thing, it wasn't my choice. Oh, it ultimately became my choice. But it wasn't my choice. God chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose me knowing every rotten thing that I would ever do. He chose you knowing every rotten thing you would ever do, both before your salvation and after your salvation. But He doesn't remember those things against us because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? It cleanses us from all sin. So He says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Fig trees bear figs. You know, olive trees bear olives. Either a vine figs. No, you don't get figs off of vines. You get them off a tree. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh or brackish water? You know, water that just sets and stagnates. You don't want to be drinking that, folks. We've had the privilege over the years of being involved in the boring of two water wells in different communities in Nigeria. And what I learned from Abaseto Emma, now what I learned from Imaiko Pinowasi, is that providing water for those communities has opened the door for giving them the water of life. And many have believed and been saved. So fresh water to keep them alive so that they don't die a terrible death. You know, you eat polluted or drink polluted water, and, you know, it's a slow, miserable death. So he goes on to say, who is a wise man? Now, remember when we began this study, we went back to the third chapter of Proverbs, and we saw Solomon. Let's do it again just for fun. In Proverbs chapter 3, and we won't read all of it because we could actually read the whole chapter, but we'll begin down at verse 13, where it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, who's a wise man among you? Wisdom is used of salvation. You know, the knowledge of this world, sure, you might be able to design computer circuitries, and I used to repair electronics, transmitters, receivers, you know, a complicated circuitry. Now I can't even hardly remember Ohm's law. You know, all of that, you know, I had a heart attack when I was 50 years old. That's 37 years ago. And for 37 years, I haven't used the things that I used for the previous, period of time. I was 50 when it took place, so I was about 21 when I began to learn electronics. Closer to 20. Entered the service at 19. Yeah, I was 19 and 20 when I was taught electronics. And, and I knew the electronics very well, based on math. And yet, from not using it over these years, I can hardly add two and two anymore. Okay. So it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, it takes the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's why we're indwelled by the Spirit. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. So the rich man, what good does it do to amass a fortune? Your relatives are just going to fight over it when you die. You know? And they do. And some bitter, people that loved one another and got along very well together, all that has to happen is they die, and the person that, is involved in as the the executor of the will, he kind of fudges a little bit, because most wills are set up so that you get a portion for being the executor. And so people within families end up hating one another because they feel like they didn't get everything they should have gotten. Well, you know, we have an inheritance that nobody can take from us. It's in Jesus Christ. It's the only inheritance that you can take to heaven. Okay? And where we will dwell, you know, we will be like God. We were created in the image of God and Adam. We were born in the image of Adam. But Adam had fallen from the image of God. So when we were born in the image of Adam, we were born into the image of a sinful man. Because in Adam all die. So in Christ all are made alive. So happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So, what doth it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, and then what? And lose his own soul. Now, it's nice to be able to fly a few things. Actually, as I've gotten older, been on Social Security, live at what is quote unquote the poverty level, you know, as compared to wages in the world. It's the first time in my life I've ever been able to save any money. You know, doesn't make any sense. But she, salvation, is more precious than rubies and all the things that thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her. You know, we got a whole bunch of people that would desire to be president. I sure hope God hasn't elected one of them too to be the president. Length of days or eternal life is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. We're children of God. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us. You know, her ways are pleasantness. You know, and all her paths are peace. We have two kinds of peace: inner peace and the peace of God that passes all understanding. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And of course, it's God who quickens our minds so that we can. And happy is everyone. And this translator screwed this up. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So that everybody in the world thinks that you have to work to keep your salvation. But what this really means from the Hebrew text is everyone who has her is blessed by her. That's what it actually means. So write that in your Bible there and cross out retaineth. We all are blessed who have salvation. Now, back in the book of James again. So it says, lie not against the truth. And the wisdom that we have, or the wisdom that the world has, descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. The King James translators translated the word for devil, diablos, and the word for demon, daemon. They both translated them, those two words. There are demons and there is one devil. You know, there are not many devils, there are many demons. And they were introduced into the world in the age of the flood. Remember, angels came down, fallen angels, and cohabited with the daughters of men. Well, what happened to their souls when they were drowned in the sea? And remember the demons that had possessed that man, and the Lord sent them into a herd of swine, and those swine were crazy. They ran right over the cliff and drowned in the sea because the demons made them do it so that they could be released from the pigs and go out and possess men again. So, what the world calls salvation isn't salvation. You don't get to heaven by being good, because there isn't a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Is it better to be good than to be bad? Yeah, there are consequences for being bad. If you break the law, you can go to jail. You know? But you can't get to heaven by being good. See? But the wisdom or salvation that's from above, you know, it's a value. So then he talks about the wisdom or what the Jews thought was salvation by keeping the law and their lives that they lived. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, you know, salvation, is pure. Right? There's no purity in the religions of man. And in fact, that's why God told the Jews to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land. He didn't want them worshiping the way that they worshiped. And while Joshua was alive, they did a pretty good job of doing that. But after Joshua died, they weren't able to drive the people out of the land. And then what happened? They intermarried with them. You know. And then what happened? They all became idolaters. and they worshiped on top of every mountain and under every green tree, you know. And if you, you know, I'm going to be very open. Every one of those false religious systems were worshipped by fornication and adultery, homosexuality, any way that a man or a woman can gratify their sexual needs. That's how those false gods were worshipped. So they were very popular. It was Woodstock, you know, to bring it into modern terms. I don't know whether you kids are old enough to remember Woodstock, but a bunch of hippies went back and they rented some ground in Woodstock, and I showed the movie about Woodstock about 40 times. You know, back in the days when I was out of the ministry and trying to get enough money together so that I didn't have to work for somebody so I could start my own business, you know. And I sit up there and breathe marijuana fumes every night, so I'm immune to marijuana. You know. We put up the no smoking sign, and as soon as I dimmed the lights, they started lighting up, you know. And the same people came in every night. It was the same thing. It was wonderful. Woodstock, rock and roll music and sex. There's nothing better than that. Well, that's the way they, the Jews or the people in the land, that's the way they worship. And that's why God told them to utterly destroy them. Because he knew that if he didn't, the flesh would desire the very same things for itself. See? And so, he says, but the wisdom that's from above, or salvation, is pure, is peaceable, is gentle. It's, you know, God doesn't put any pressure on us. You know, it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. You know, we don't deserve it. God was merciful in saving our souls. And it's full of good fruit. And it's without partiality. God's in the business of saving people everywhere in the world. You know, no one is saved because they're a Jew. No one's saved because they were born to a Christian family. No one's saved for any natural reasons. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God's given us a responsibility as parents. He says, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Sometimes we train him by the things that we do. We make other things more important than coming and worshiping the Lord on Sunday. And I'm not picking on anybody. I've done the same thing. I was in the ministry and I quit and I didn't go anywhere. You know, until the Lord dropped me on my head from a 30-foot tower. You know, it's a good thing I landed on my head. You know, but while I was laying on the ground, after that fall, they actually pulled the tower I was building over. All it was holding it was 1/2-inch bolt. I was 30 feet in the air, and it hung on one guy wire. And the stupid son of my boss, who had never worked on a tower job before, decided he was going to tighten that first guy line. That's a pretty good lever. A 30-foot lever to break a 1/2-inch bolt didn't take much. You know. So I was belted into it and managed to get loose. Decided I'll jump for the roof of the building, see if I can cut the distance down a little bit. Hit the edge of the building with had a chest pack on with a radio. And in those days, a handheld radio was about the size of a brick. You know, in fact, we used to call them bricks. You know, hit that and it flipped me and I landed on my head. Yeah. And I was the only one on the hill that had any first aid training. They all wanted to get me up. I said, just leave me alone. know. And I began to check myself out. And it was winter, actually early spring. We'd had snow all week, and it finally cleared off, and we'd built one tower in the rain and snow, and then started building the other one. And we had to do it because it had iced up, and the wind load was such that it took those two towers down. So first halfway decent weather days, we got back up there to get people back on the air. Yeah. And after I was laying in that back of that pickup for just a little, or not pickup, but the van, I had long underwear on, I had my coveralls on, and then I had an old Second World War military winter issue parka on, and it cut off the circulation in my arms, and I thought, oh, you just damn fool. You got up and moved when you shouldn't have. Well, when I got to the hospital, they got me undressed, and Joanne came in, and she says, you're in trouble. Your name's your doctor's name is Rocky. And he was a little bit rocky, you know. Nothing was broken, so I was okay. He was a bone doctor, you know. And took me quite a while to get over that. That was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Yeah. And while I laid on the ground, I said, Lord, why didn't you kill me? Yeah. Yeah. I knew that he, God had called me into the ministry, and I was, you know, I'd supported myself while I was in the ministry and through Bible college, and while we were trying to establish a church here, and then the first church didn't make it. And I got discouraged and should have had services in my home and just kept doing what I did, but I didn't. You know, I guess that's too damn dumb. You know, but I got discouraged. And discouragement is a weapon of the devil that he loves to use. You know. And so there were a few years there where Dale was more interested in going out and dancing and drinking than he was in preaching the truth of the Word of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, you know. And yet, God knew all about me before the foundation of the world. And so when he got me back into the ministry after dropping me on my head, knocked a little sense into my head, you know, I preached to a grand number of two people at times. You know, we do it no matter how many people are here, because God called us to preach. And we send what we preach out, and we don't know how many people. But however many are here, I would love to see this place packed, and I've seen it packed over the years. But, you know, we're in the last days. And the number one thing for us is to remember our Lord was faithful to his Father unto death. He died in our stead. So how about us? Can we be a little bit faithful, you know, in what he's committed to our trust? I think so. I'm not going to legalize you. You can do whatever you want to do. But we need to get our priorities straight sometimes. I don't want anything to happen to you like the Lord had to use to get my attention. I want to read the end of this chapter, and we'll start with chapter 4 next time. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom or the salvation that's from above is gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of fruits, without partiality. full of mercy. God knew all about me before the foundation of the world, and He saved me anyway. See? Without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's no pretense. I don't have to go around and act like I never ever had a bad thought in my life or never touched a bottle of whiskey in my life or drank a beer after work in my life. The scriptures just tell us not to be drunken with wine wherein is excess. It doesn't say we can't imbibe a little bit, but use some sense. See? And the fruit of righteousness. You know, what comes from being saved? It's sown in peace. That is, so that we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God that passes all understanding of them that do what? What I do here, Sunday after Sunday, what Eric does, what each of you do when you have the opportunity to witness to someone or to invite them to church with you. Maybe you don't have the ability to explain things to them because God didn't give you that particular gift. But you invite your friends to come with you, and it's a great joy to invite someone to hear the Word of God and to see them saved. Yeah. So, and the fruit of righteousness, that's not the life that you live. That's the fact that Christ stood in your stead in life and died for your sins. It's sown in peace of them that do what? We have the opportunity to tell others what Jesus Christ did for us so that they might have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us, your goodness and grace to us. The fact that there's not a man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. Yet in your infinite mercy and grace before the foundation of the world, in your omniscience, knowing every stupid, dumb thing we would ever do, you saved us by your grace. You keep us by your grace. And one day we will stand in your presence in a body that you've gone to prepare for us. And we will have or be heirs and joint heirs or co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but we have it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.